On this Ash Wednesday, as we begin the season of Lent, we hear the words of the revelation given to St. John, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There are three ways you can bend your knee to Christ. Three ways you can bend your knee. According to St. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he said it this way: "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth." Heaven, on earth, and those under the earth. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's consider the last one first, those under the earth. Bowing your knee in that way, those under the earth. I think of the story of the great account of the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus speaks of, which may have been a parable, may have been a true story, describing how that rich man, because of his unbelief, is taken to hell and is in torment in hell, crying out even for a drop of water just to cool his tongue in the horrible agony that he's experiencing. Suddenly, the gospel and the way to heaven through Christ is now very clear to him as he sits in such agony. Christ has now become very relevant to him, and he suddenly turns into the greatest evangelist. He's suddenly filled with great fervor to have his brothers spared from coming to such an awful place. He finally now must bend his knee to Christ. Just sad to say it's too late. During his ministry on earth, Jesus at times would heal many people and drive out demons. We're told once in the city of Capernaum that he drove out demons, and as they came out of people, they were shouting, "You are the Son of God." Isn't it interesting that even the rebellious demons cast out of heaven because of their wickedness and rebellion by God, even those demons now must profess and confess that Christ is who he is, the true Son of God and true Lord. It's certainly not a confession that comes in faith. It's not a bending of the knee that comes out of love or reverence, but it's purely by force. When I was in college here, there was a song that came out by John Cougar Mellencamp called the Authority Song. And I always liked one line from that, or one phrase from that. I think it was the refrain: "I fight authority, and authority always wins. I fight authority, authority always wins. I've been doing it since I was a young kid, and I'd come out grinning, but I fight authority, and authority always wins." That speaks to the rebellion that's in us, as well as in those angels who fell away from God. There is no uglier form of submission than forced submission. There is no uglier way of watching someone have to bow to authority than when it is done out of reluctance and hatred and purely pressured by force. A commentator says this about this category of those who bend the knee to Christ in hell. He says, "Unbelievers give honor to Christ only with a great struggle, but they also, like the devils, whether they want to or not, will sometime have to acknowledge and admit that Jesus Christ is Lord. They are obliged to confess." This is a bending of the knee that comes by obligation. And the saddest, most pathetic-looking group on Judgment Day will be those people who at one time had the gospel, like us, who knew about Christ, who knew about the way of repentance, who knew about his wonderful forgiveness and mercy, but who threw it aside, who pushed that aside, and now it's too late. There will be no more pitiful-looking group of people than that group on Judgment Day, who must finally bend the knee but refuse to in this life. Paul describes that second group, those on earth, who bend the knee, and that's speaking to us. Today we begin the season of Lent, 40 days preparing for the great resurrection of our Lord that the historical church used as a special time, not that we don't do it otherwise, but as a very focused and special time for us to repent of our sins before God and to seek His grace and forgiveness. It received the name Ash Wednesday because one of the external signs that was often used was putting ashes on your forehead and shoulders, sometimes dressing in sackcloth the way the Jews had done prior to Christ's coming as well. And those became outward external signs about sadness of heart and mourning your sins. We could easily focus on external issues, but when it comes to our relationship to God, that's irrelevant. It matters to us, maybe. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. All that matters to God is what's going on inside of my soul, inside of my heart. Am I still in love with my sin and wanting to hold on to it? Am I still in a place where I don't want to let go of that and I refuse to bend my knee to Christ? Where the Holy Spirit works repentance in the heart, causing us to realize our wickedness before God and to repent of that and to come before Him just in our hearts, bending the knee, seeking His grace. That is where heaven rejoices and the angels rejoice. Let's not foolishly, in our youth, let's not foolishly imagine that we can somehow put this off and it's going to be fine. That somehow our time of grace in this world is going to be so long that we can come back to it when our hair starts to turn gray. There are many people in the first group who are crying out for a drop of water on their tongue, who waited too long, who had the window of grace held open to them, but who waited too long and trifled with God and with Christ and finally had that window closed. Today, for me, for you, today is the day of repentance. Today is the day to seek the Lord, our gracious, loving Savior, who goes to the cross to be slain for us, just for you, to pay for every one of the things that would make you afraid you can't go to heaven. And that gracious Savior today holds open the window of His grace to you right now through my sinful mouth and says to you, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now is the time for us in this life to sing the Kyrie, the great song of the church, "Have mercy on us, O Jesus." And in so doing, we will join that third great category of those who bend the knee. Paul describes those in heaven, and that's exactly what our text is speaking about for us today from St. John's Revelation. Earlier in this chapter 5, we hear about this great throng of believers and faithful who now bow before the throne of Christ, the Lamb that was slain. Isn't it interesting, by the way, to note that here in this life and in this world, according to our doctrine and theology and what we are to teach and preach, it's supposed to be Christ-centered, Christ-crucified. That's exactly what we see as well in heaven. They're focused on the Lamb who was slain. That's where the worship still remains, even in heaven. About a year ago or so, a couple years ago maybe, one of the first times that TV show came out of great home makeovers or extreme home makeovers, there was an African-American woman in one of the very poor suburbs of Los Angeles, and you could tell by imagery in her very shabby little house that she was a Christian. And they finally took her away with her family and built this beautiful mansion for her to come back to. What was interesting is her 14-year-old son had had a bedroom that was actually a converted porch with cardboard put up on the screens and just a mattress on the floor. They had such poor living conditions. When he finally was able to come into his own personal brand new bedroom built just for him, as he looked at this magnificent room, he went to his bed and dropped on his knees, and he said loud enough for the cameras to pick it up, Lord Jesus, thank you for being so kind to me. When you and I someday walk into the mansions of heaven and get to see the room that Christ has prepared for you by his blood and by his grace and forgiveness, just think of the kind of gratitude that's going to come out of our mouths. Just think of the kind of praise that's going to just naturally come flowing out of our mouths as we bend our knee at his throne. And we aren't going to be singing the Kyrie anymore because his mercy has delivered us. We're going to be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Praise be to him. Amen.